All right, we return to 1 John chapter 5 this morning. 1 John chapter 5, and we're going to be talking about the wonderful subject of prayer. You know, when we talk about prayer, a lot of folks get quiet, even in these big Baptist churches where they like to a lot of times make some commotion, but they get quiet because not only the solemnity of the subject, but a lot of folks don't pray as they should. Well, none of us pray as we should. And even if we find ourselves praying a lot of times we're not praying in faith. We're praying because we're afraid. We're praying because we really want something. We're praying because we really miss someone. We're praying, you know, some ladies over the years have come to church without their husbands and always ask me, pray for Joe that he'll come to church with me. Pray for Mike or William that they'll come to church for me, come to church with me. I don't like you being here alone and the other wives have their husbands. I want to have my husband in church with me too. And, you know, it's been a kind of a thing where I let them know, you know, it's not about your pride that your husband should be in church. If I pray for your husband to be in church, it'll be not to make you happy. You say, but he's a good man. You know, well, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the thing is that I'm not going to pray for him to come to church because he's a good man, taking care of the family, works hard, provided for the children. He's gone out of the way to make you happy. That's not why I'm going to pray for him to be in church. And I'm not even going to be praying for him to come to church because he's going to go to hell. He's going to bust hell wide open when he dies. I'm not even going to pray for that reason. I'm going to pray for the reason that God gives us, and that is I'm going to pray for him to come to church so that God would be glorified and he would begin to give glory to God, because that is why God saves people. You know, you say, well, what about, you know, if we prayed for everybody that's going to hell, that's most of the world. Right? So we should be praying for the glory of God, for yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory forever. Amen. And when we pray that, you know, Joe, or even if it's Mary, should be in church, it'd be God. They're not giving you glory in their lives. They're not expressing how great your salvation is. They're not talking about how wonderful your love is. They're not talking about how your wondrous power found them when they were sinners, and that you were, by your grace, you brought them to their knees to confess that they're sinners in need of your mercy, that Jesus is everything and they're nothing without him, to give you the glory. The Bible says, where therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, give you do all in the for the glory of God. And so I'll pray for your loved ones. I remember the same as well when praying for Ellen's mom. Been a couple years ago or so. It's been a little while back that she would get saved. And it wasn't just because Ellen loved her that I prayed for her. I prayed for her. She was a good woman. That's not why I said, God save her. She's been a good woman. I said, Lord Jesus, please save her. She's lost in religion that's not giving you glory. She's lived a life that's been good to her family, but not good to your glory. Please save her for your glory, that she may confess you, that she might know you, that she might worship you, that she might serve you, that she might give you glory. And so 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, 15 is going to talk about prayer. A lot of people pray because of necessity or because of need. Some people even pray out of habit. They pray the same prayer every time they give thanks at the table. Now, it's not wrong to always say the same thing before you eat, as long as you mean it. But some people just do it out of habit without a thought to what they're really saying. And so as we come to prayer, what we're going to see here is about confidence in prayer. We looked at that in Hebrews recently, remember? Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Aren't you glad it says the throne of grace? Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And it's in the context of we have a great high priest at the right hand of the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who is tested in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, our weaknesses, our failures, our falling into sin. And he intercedes for us. So therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. We should have sanctified confidence. We should have boldness in prayer when we pray. If we come to the Lord praying, oh Lord, if you want to do this, or Lord, if you want to do that, or Lord, if you, you know what? The Bible says, I will pour water on him who is thirsty. Do you know what it's like to be really thirsty? How many of you have been so thirsty you thought you might die? Your throat was dried up, your mouth was dry. And you thought it was painful. You can get so thirsty that it hurts. And your mouth doesn't produce any saliva. And your throat is completely dry. And the Bible says, I will pour water on him who is thirsty. I'll pour floods upon the dry ground. It's talking about someone who's praying in a way that they can't live without it. I need you, Lord. I got to hear from you, God. Lord, give me wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally to all men and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering, for a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. In other words, come boldly, come with faith. And you can't come boldly because of you. You fail, you're a sinner, you're timid, you don't know the right, you know, a lot of people think, well, I can't pray because I don't know all the right words. It's an expression of the heart. It's like you're talking to God and you're being honest with God. It's better to, you know, can you imagine Peter on the night of the storm praying like some people do? And so he says, Jesus, that's you out there on the water? Yeah, it's Peter, it's me, it's not a ghost. Well, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you on the water. Okay, Peter, come. Peter steps out there, starts walking along the wave, looks back at the guys, and says, woohoo, look at me go. And all of a sudden, the lightning crashed, and the gust came along, and a wave blew up nearby him. And he took his eyes off of Jesus, started looking at the storm, right? And the Bible says he began to sink. And you know what? Peter prayed like a lot of people I've heard praying in churches and so on. Lord, I come to you on this beautiful stormy night amidst the waves and the winds and the lightning. And I want you to remember all the blah, 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 blah. He sank. Right? But Peter just came out, told the truth, and said it like he meant it. Lord, save me! And Jesus reached out his hand, caught Peter from drowning. Got him from going under. Didn't even get his hair wet. Amen? If he had hair, of course, the good-looking guys had bald heads back then. Same today. Anyways, Peter, Lord, save me. It's better to say what you mean and mean what you say when you come to the Lord in prayer, because he already knows the truth. He knows your heart. You can't put on the dog around God. You can't sprinkle spiritual angel dust around with flowery words and prayer. If you, this stupid app, I'm going to have to take it off my phone. I put Rumble on there for news. I'm not going to rumble anymore. Hi, good morning. How are you? Come on in, sweetheart. You're invited. Oh, this young man seems to know who you are. Welcome this morning. We're in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, 15. Believe it or not, I haven't even read the verses yet. But we should have sanctified confidence. We should have boldness in prayer. We should not be afraid to pray to God when we pray. A lot of people come timid and, like I said, they're saying, Lord, if you could do this for me, or Lord, if you could do that for me. What you should do is say, Lord, I need this. I ask you for this. And not it's not because I'm good, but because Jesus was good for me. I ask for this in Jesus' name, who loved me and died for my sins and rose again from the dead. And if we come in the name of Christ, of course, He's promised to hear our prayers, answer our prayers. Has not the Lord commanded us to pray over and over again in the Bible and bless the practice of prayer? Is He not glorified by hearing and answering prayer? So many stories in the Bible where prayers were answered. Miracles came to pass. The church prayed when Peter was in prison, was going to be executed the next morning. There in the book of Acts, they prayed. And then the next thing they know, somebody's knocking at the outer gate. A little girl named Rhonda. Remember her? Or was it Rhoda? It's Rhonda or Rhoda. Went to the gate, a little girl, and she says, oh, it's Peter. Hey, Peter. And then she ran off without opening the gate, ran back inside the house where they were having church prayer meeting, praying for Peter. And she said, hey, everybody, Peter's at the gate. You want me to come let him in? And they said, oh, it can't be Peter. He must be put to death. That was probably his ghost or his spirit. Remember that? That's in the book of Acts. Here they are praying. And they're praying like they mean it. And there's more than two or three agreed in prayer. And Peter's standing at the gate. And they could hardly believe it. So many stories that, you know, have you ever had one of those answers to prayer? Lord, I need this. I need you to go before me. Lord, I need you to take care of this. God, I've got to talk to this person. And this person can be really violent. They can be really emotional. They can be really temperamental. And the friendship depends on it. The peace in the family depends on it. Lord, please be with me. And then you go and God has moved their heart. Like Jacob did when he prayed for his brother Esau. And remember how Esau hated Jacob. He swore he would kill his brother Jacob for stealing his inheritance. And how does Esau meet Jacob? All these soldiers around him, all these servants with their weapons. But then behind them was herds of goat and sheep and cattle. And he gave all that to Jacob, who was rich already. And they were at peace. God can do that. But Jacob had prayed all night like he meant business. Remember, he was wrestling with God in prayer. And that's important for us to remember. I'm barely through the introduction. So 1 John chapter 5, the epistle of John, 1 John chapter 5, listen to verse 14 and 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. In other words, the Bible's full of promises to God to answer prayer. Full of prayer promises, I should say. Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asks, receive, and he who seeks, finds, and to him that knocks, the door shall be opened. If a man abide in me and my words abide in him, he shall ask what he desires, and it shall be given to him. So many prayer promises, so many places. It is though that God is reaching down to us with prayer promises, trying to draw us, get us excited, trying to bring us to pray, trying to bring us to faith in prayer and believing in prayer and trusting in prayer. Is He not glorified by hearing and answering prayer? Yes, He is. I don't know how many, you know, the one time I told you about, there's been lots and lots of times that I've knocked on heaven's door when nobody knew what I needed except for God. And I knocked on His door by prayer, and God answered me. I know that God is real. I know that heaven is real. I know the Bible is true. And one of the things, besides just simple childlike faith in the scriptures, is that I've knocked on heaven's door so many times when only God knew what I needed, and God provided it for me, even if he used other people. I remember one time I was short of rent, and I needed exactly this much. I remember 28 cents was at the end of it. And then I was going to have enough money to round it out, and I'd have the rent paid. And before I went to church that night, it was Wednesday night church, I went to the post office box thing in our apartments there in Phoenix, Arizona. And I turned the key and I received in the mail a thing from the Internal Revenue Service saying, we found an error here where we did not refund you enough of your money or whatever. Here's the money we owe you. And can you believe it was down to the penny of exactly what I needed? And Connie could hear me shouting from doors down, thank you, Jesus. Another time, when I was an assistant pastor there early on in Arizona, we needed some food. We needed to get groceries. We would wait till it was about dinner time at her mom and dad's house and then go by and visit them, because we couldn't afford the groceries, right? Go by and visit them. They were glad to see us. But they soon caught on that we didn't have the money or whatever. And one day after church, where I was an assistant pastor and over the teenagers, the youth there at the church, we walked out to my car. I don't know how somebody got gas in it, but my car was on empty when I got there. There was a full tank of gas in the car. And the back seat of my car was filled up with groceries and the trunk. God is good. I wasn't going around telling anybody, man, I don't know how I'm going to eat a tater sandwich today. I don't know how I'm going to have a banana. But God knew and God provided. You remember that day, huh? Yeah, that was something else. Our refrigerator and cabinets didn't have room for the blessings that God have us. But I don't believe in wasting food, so I gained 12 pounds in one day. Can you believe? Amen. And so why we should have confidence in God when we pray. It says here that we can be confident in knowing that he hears us if we ask anything according to his will. 1 John 5:14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know we're praying in the will of God. We know we're praying not only for something that God wants, but we're praying it not for ourselves, not for our glory, not for our happiness, but for his glory, for his pleasure, for his will to be done. We know that he hears us, whatever we ask. We know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. In other words, we know he's going to hear and answer our prayers. We might need to wait a little while. That's the tough one. Remember, the tough command to follow is to wait on the Lord, but he'll hear and answer us. And so this is the confidence we have in him. Notice it does not say confidence we have in ourselves. God will answer my prayer because I've been faithful to Sunday school and Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night church. I read my Bible every day. I keep my devotions. I hand out tracts here and there and everywhere. God's got to hear and answer my prayer. No. This is confidence we have in him. Because he has promised, because his word is true, if we ask anything according to his will, for his glory, he'll hear us. And so, because why should we have confidence when we pray? Because faith, assurance, and sanctified boldness in prayer pleases God. How would you like your little child to come up to you? Well, Mom, don't hit me. Don't hurt me. Daddy, don't be mad at me. But I want some candy at the store and a little toy soldier they have at the store. Could I have it? Is that okay? You want your child to come to you that way? Do you want your kid to say, come up to you and say, Mommy, Daddy, you're so handsome. You're so pretty. I love you so much. And I know you love me. You take care of me. At the store, they had some candy. I really want some candy. Mama, you're the prettiest mom in the world. Right? So she's getting her glory. She's getting her love. I want some candy. And there's a little toy soldier. He's not big. He's just little. It only costs a little bit. But I really want that toy soldier. Could you get that for me, Mommy? If he tells his dad, Dad, you're the strongest dad in the world. I told the kids at school, they said, well, my dad has a shotgun. And I said, my dad says, welcome to the gun show. He's got guns in his arms. You're the strongest dad. And then he begins to ask, you ever notice how Jesus taught us to pray? Our Father who art in heaven. Oh, you see everything, you know everything. You're the highest, you're the greatest, you're the best.
And hallowed be. No,
you're not. Nathan, could you take Weatherbug off my that rumble thing off my phone? Man, I put the noise down and everything before I come to church. And I've gotten mad over the years because same people have forgot to turn their phone down. And I messed up twice in one service. And, Lord, why are you playing tricks on me, getting me back for getting fussy at people doing that? And so the kind of prayer that pleases God is, Lord, you're so great, you're so good. You love me so much, you gave your son to die for me. And it's in his name. And it's for his sake. And it is something that would please you. Lord, please hear and answer my prayer. And Lord, if this is not for your glory, if this will not cause me to love you more and want to pray more, then don't answer me. You know, I wasn't going to mention this, but there is something to that old song Garth Brooks used to sing. Thank God for unanswered prayer. You remember that old song? Some things that he prayed for when he was younger that he was glad that God didn't answer his prayers for. Sometimes young people pray for, Lord, if you just give me Lisa May, I'll be the happiest man in the world. Cause her to love me. Give her to me as my girlfriend, Lord. I want Lisa May. And years go by and you come out and find out that Lisa May was a wildcat. And she was a rattlesnake in the grass. Right? So you say, God, thank you that you kept me from Lisa May. Or, Lord, I want Bobby Joe. He's so handsome. Oh, he's so smart. And he smells so good. Lord, I want Bobby Joe. You come to find out that Bobby Joe and all his charm was just using people. And he ended up in jail for cheating people. Even hurt people to try to take their money. You say, God, thank you. You didn't give me Bobby Joe. Amen. And so sometimes when the Lord says no, it's because he loves us and knows what's best for us. Why should we have confidence in prayer? Because faith in prayer, assurance in prayer, confidence in prayer, coming in Jesus' name with boldness like you truly believe pleases God. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And Hebrews 11:6. Without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. Matthew chapter 21, verse 22, Jesus said this, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Mark chapter 11, verse 22 and following, Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And James, remember we quoted that verse, let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. For he that doubteth in his heart is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. He's like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. So we need to be steadfast, believing in God's goodness. And as we're learning here, if we're praying for something that's in the will of God, to be confident that God will hear and answer our prayers. And this pleases God. I'm going to have to close in just a couple of minutes because we got started a little bit late and had a longer psalm and so on this morning, but and sang all the verses to the other song. But the point I want to make is that how many of you have gone to a little lake or a pond to feed ducks? Maybe you took some popcorn, maybe you had a loaf of bread and or some bread left over for something, and you went to feed the ducks. Let me ask you a question. What duck got the most bread? What duck got the most popcorn? It was the duck that came the closest to you and quacked the loudest and acted like he was dying unless you gave him some bread. That's the one. Now you looked at maybe the little female mallard over there, and she was shy, afraid of humans, and another one over here that kept swimming around trying to think, well, are they going to hurt me? Are they going to hurt me? And then you tossed out little pieces here and there to them, but the duck that got right up from quack, quack, quacking, quacking the loudest like he's going to step on your foot, he's got his chest out, he's confident, he's not going to move. You could tell him, you stupid duck, get out of here. And he's not going to say, oh, you hurt my feelings, and then walk away. That's not going to happen. He's bold. He comes near. And he quacks the most. And he gets the most bread. The Christian who gets the most answers to prayer is not always the sweetest Christian. It's not even the Christian that's thinking, oh, I'm kind of afraid of God, and I don't want to mess up, and I love him, but I'm afraid, I'm hungry, but I don't know. And who's the Christian that gets the most answers to prayer? You remember the story about the duck, don't you? It's the one that comes close, the one who's bold, the one who's not afraid, and who quacks the most. Amen. That's right. They may have trouble with some of their words sometimes. They may have trouble with a couple little bad habits here and there. But they know God. They love God. They believe He's real. And they believe He loved them and died for their sins and rose again from the dead. And by doing that, He opened the heaven's gates and His arms wide open and said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come to me, all you who are lonely, I'll be a friend of you. I'll be a husband to the widow, a father to the fatherless, a husband to the wife who's been deserted. I'll be a father to the orphans. He said, come. Come, let us therefore come boldly. Let us come quacking the loudest and don't be afraid to step on His feet. Don't be afraid. Ask Him for things and pray like you mean it. Isn't there something you need answer to prayer for? Isn't there something you really want to see God do? I remember praying for my stepdad that God would save him. I remember praying for the guys I worked with in Indiana while I was going through school that God would save them. And I'm in business with the Lord, and I said, Lord, I don't want to go to sleep till you give me peace in my heart that you're going to save my stepdaddy. My real dad died when I was just a little boy. Please save my stepdaddy. Lord, I pray that you would bring him to the end of himself, show him his sins, and by your sweet Holy Spirit, give him faith and make Jesus real to him. And cause him to cry out to you to save him. God eventually did that. And God saved 3 of the 4 guys I worked with at a bakery. And if you've never prayed for teenage boys that are 18 years old, are between 16 and 18 years old, full of testosterone. I mean, it's like they're hormones with arms and legs just walking around. Thinking about girls and thinking about getting high and thinking about getting drunk and thinking about taking the car here and this, that, and the other thing. Not a care in the world about their souls. They think they're going to live forever. They don't realize that that very day they could be taken into eternity. And yet God, by His sweet Holy Spirit, broke through and spoke to their heart, made them afraid of going to hell, made them to see that Jesus dying for their sins really happened, and that He rose again from the dead, and that He would freely and fully save, wash away all the sins of even if they called on Him. God can do it in answer to our prayers. Now, this is the tough part. You might not want to hear it. But sometimes we have pain. Sometimes our health suffers. And a lot of times over our life, we pray for certain things. God answers our prayer. Sometimes He answers our prayer by providing for us to go to the doctor. Doctor figures out what it is. We get the medicine. God heals us. Or given the time and, Lord, please help me. Only You can help me. God heals us. But sometimes the Lord is actually behind the infirmity that we have and the pain that we have because He's using it for His glory. If God can get you to love Him more and serve Him better by putting you in the hospital, guess what you're headed for? If God can get you to love Him more, be sweeter to others, glorify Him more by Him becoming more the fellowship of your life, by Him becoming your very best friend in all the universe, God might do what it takes to do that for you. The Apostle Paul had a terrible, we read about it in the New Testament, we read about how Paul prayed. He was in God's presence in prayer, and three times he had said, God, please take this pain away. He had a terrible eye disease that was very painful, and he had to, in the letters that he did write when somebody wasn't writing for him, while he wasn't dictating the words of the Holy Spirit to the writer like Silas or Timothy, Paul had to use great big letters because he could barely see. And the pain was debilitating. Paul said, Lord, please take it away. Please take it away. Oh, You know how much I've served You. I've been in prisons most of my adult life for Your name's sake. I've gone hungry over and over again. I've gone naked over and over again when they stripped off my clothes and threw me out on the streets for preaching about Jesus. I've done all these things for You. Can't You just help me with my eyes? It hurts so bad every day, Lord. And what did God say to him? He didn't say, okay, Paul, I'll heal you. What did He say? Paul says, God said to him, My grace is sufficient for you. For when you are weak, then I am strong. When you're little, I'm very big. You know, Paul wasn't always his name. You remember what his name was on the road to Damascus? It was Saul. He had been named after the first king of Israel. And Jesus changed his name to Paul. Do you know what Paul means? Little. Little. Small. Remember what Paul said? I glory in the grace of God, because when I am weak, then He is strong. When I am little, He is great. When I'm weak, He's powerful. And he said, when you heard Him preach and you were moved, it was because God was with him. Do you know how tall Paul was? We have a historian who wrote about meeting Paul. A Roman historian met him. Paul was about 4 foot 5, 4 foot 6 inches. Little, small guy. and his back was hunched over. How many times was he beaten with rods? 40 times, save that one last stripe. 3 times we read about. He had been stoned and left for dead outside a city called Lystra. He had scars all over him. And Brother Philip, you can relate to me and Paul on this. He was bald-headed. But he had a long beard. You and I got to work on that. So he had a long beard, bent over, only about 4'5". But that one little guy in constant pain, constant suffering, constant trouble, who lived most of his ministry writing most of the New Testament from a prison cell or a dungeon, turned the world right side up for Christ. You're sitting in church today because Paul took the gospel into Europe. When you read the book of Galatians, they were in France. When you read the book of Romans, they were in Italy. Paul, almost single-handedly and more powerfully than all the other apostles put together, spread the gospel to more places. While he was weak, while he was in pain, while he was infirm, while his back was hunched over, even from his prison cells, even from the lowest dungeon, the Mamertine prison in Rome, the lowest dungeon for the worst of criminals, for those who were about to die, because God hears and answers prayer. You ever notice how Paul begins his letters? He begins his letters, "I'm a bond slave of Christ. I'm a bond servant of Jesus." In other words, he's saying, "I'm not just his servant. I became his servant. I volunteered. He made me his servant. I said, okay, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, whatever you want me to say, I'm yours." Little is much when God is in it. Some people look at us and say, that's a small church. Not a small church if God's here. If his word is being preached, if he's being loved, and if he's being honored, if we're sincere in our hearts that we love him, we love the gospel, we love the story of Jesus, we love everything Jesus said, everything Jesus did, we love his death, his resurrection, we'll just make much of Jesus, God is here. And even the universe cannot contain him. There's no such thing as a little church. And so, if God is there, well, we barely broke the surface on our message this morning, but I want to ask you once again, isn't there something that you need from God? Isn't there something that you're begging God for that you need to be excited about, that you need to be concerned about? Isn't there something? Begin praying. First of all, begin praying that God would be glorified in it. If it's for God to save a lost loved one, a wayward teenager, a suffering child, take one of the prayer promises in the Bible. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." That's a great one. So many great prayer promises. And from Genesis to Revelation, right, Gene? There's prayer promises in places you don't even imagine. And God will sneak one in there on you one time. You say, "I've read this chapter so many times, I never saw that nugget. I'm going to use that as a prayer promise." And take it to the Lord. And don't do it in a namby-pamby, ear-tickling, back-scratching, soft-soaping way. Do it in a window-rattling, shingle-pulling, barnstorming way to pray. Come to him like the duck who's going to get the most food. "I'm hungry! I'm hungry! I'm hungry! Lord, I need this! Lord, I need this! You know I love you! You know I love Jesus! You're so good to me! I'm not coming to you because I love you, but because you love me! And because you gave your son to me, Lord, take care of this for me. Lord, help me." like Peter on the water, Lord, save me. Well, you say, I don't know what words to use. Speak to him from your heart. I still don't know what words to use. Then just say like Peter, Lord, save me. Lord, hear me. Lord, help me. Lord, answer my prayers.